For the top tech tidbits that I read every week, who's the person or people who actually do the work? It would be a pity to lose that if they don't have like a host.
I think the person that's still doing those is Dean Martineau. Whether he was being paid by Larry or how that all works, I don't know. So I don't know if he's going to be still interested in doing it or not. That's a wonderful resource. It's our only weekly resource like that that I know of that really, you know, they do a pretty good job 99% of the time of providing accurate information.
This is about OCR. I'm trying to OCR a book that I actually just picked up today. And the book is old. It's a hardcover book. It's about 85 years old, and it's semi-collectible. I mean, it is, you know, it does show up in collectible bookstores sometimes, so I don't want to break the binding. So I'm looking for suggestions on what the best way to do this is. I have a couple of different things at my disposal. I got a flatbed scanner, I have a Pearl camera, and I got my iPhone, obviously. Open book, Clearswile, DocuScan, scanning something without destroying it.
Probably the camera would be the best. You could take it, you know, you wouldn't have to really push it up against the flatbed.
The BPL, the Boston Public Library, has a scanning service of some sort. You can make requests maybe through Perkins or something, but their unit who does that, they might have some, you know, ideas on, you know, answers to questions like that, because they probably do scan books that they have to worry about destroying them from time to time.
I know that the Perkins archivists have a device. It's a big, expensive machine that you can lay an open book on it. You don't have to turn it upside down or anything, and it scans and flips the pages and everything, if I'm not mistaken. But that's a major commercial machine.
I do have an iPad, but I've been using my Haven flip phone, and it really is time that I got something like an, so I could summon something like one of these ride services or something. So I need to get myself an iPhone. And I was just wondering if there's anything special when I go to, you know, I just sort of give up when I look at all the different options and where to buy one, you know, and services. But is there anything special being, you know, a visually impaired person that I should, in addition to all these other choices, that I should particularly look for?
In general, I like to avoid the cell phone stores. Try an Apple store for a couple of different reasons. First of all, they're usually agents for most of the major carriers. Yeah, they're agents for T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, I think Sprint as well. So you have a choice of plans. And also, they'll at least get you started. If you're new to using VoiceOver, they'll at least turn it on for you and give you some help with that. So it is something to doing that.
Yeah. I have been using VoiceOver on the, you know, on this iPad, so I'm familiar with that a little bit. So, you know, I have a start anyway, but I just didn't know if there's anything.
I would add that if you're going to be solely a VoiceOver user, most of us prefer smaller iPhones to bigger ones. I would never want an iPhone Plus unless I really needed it for the extra battery life. And even for that, I'd rather have a battery case or something attached to it. I just think it's easier to manage a smaller screen. But if you're using your vision and VoiceOver, that's a different story.
I can see fairly well. You know, I use both.
Yeah.
So I just guess that I have to go look at it. So there's a whole lot of different sizes of them.
The iPhone 6, 7, and 8 is pretty much one size, if I remember right. The 5 was a little smaller, and they now have what's called the iPhone SE. I think they're still selling that, but that's the smallest iPhone you can get. But it has not the very latest in firmware and technology in it. It's a couple of years behind at this point. So I have an iPhone 7. I like it real well. Uh-huh. I think I could be just as happy with an iPhone 8. So if you're going to get one, you might as well get one of the more modern ones. That would be my thinking.
But I have heard pretty strong rumors that they are going to come out in the fall with a new SE, updated one. Also, if you do wait to the fall, one, they have the newest ones, but then the oldest ones tend to go down by $100 in price. So if you wait 3 months, you get a choice of new ones plus the current ones with generally $100 cheaper than they are right now. So, you might want to wait a few months.
And depending on your provider, you may be able to get deals. A lot of times they'll give you, you get phones for, you know, under contract, I think, still.
I would make sure I get a good amount of memory. Don't skimp on your memory when you get your new iPhone. Get the max you can get. It's well worth the investment and it will help your speed.
When you say, you mean storage on the phone? Yeah. I often will be on a website and I need to copy something off that website, put it somewhere else, and then go back to the website. When I do that, I'm always back at the top of the website. And I have a feeling there's a setting or something that's causing that. Any thoughts?
That actually reminds me of something really obnoxious that seems to have started happening within the last few months. And that is, regardless of whether you're copying or not, if you alt tab away from a web page and you come back to it, you're stuck at the top. So it's not just a copy paste.
You know what?
Thing.
No, it's not. Guys, it could be automatic page refreshing.
Well, I do know that there are some place marker type commands that you can use. And I don't remember what the one fairly new one is. Like if you're in a Word document, you can mark a spot and then keep arrowing down. And then when you get to the end of what you want to select, then you select it and you can get back to that spot again. I don't know if that works on a website.
Tim tells me that Vibebug has a Mac computer, but I'm wondering if there's anybody around who has used a Mac and would be willing to maybe spend a little time just sort of introducing it to me. I'm a little curious.
I could do that.
Awesome.
Yeah. First of all, I don't remember which of my email addresses I used to subscribe to it. So if I wanted to send an email to it, I don't know which one to use. And also this thing, if you send a message to ask a question, can you set it so that you get a reply, you get the same message back to your own address so that you know that you actually send it?
As far as, you know, which address you subscribe to, what you do is send an email to me with the address you want to be subscribed to, and I'll make sure that's subscribed. As far as the second question goes, by default, the list always sends back copies of the message that you sent to the list. The issue here is that some email services and some email clients give this problem. For instance, Gmail is notorious for doing this. And the reason why that this exists is that one of the tricks that spam bots use to get their spam into your inbox is that they sometimes try to make it look like it's coming from you to get past spam filters. So that trips up a lot of spam filters. So, you know, if you get a message coming back from, say, Jim Roberts, and your email provider, A, may eat it up like Gmail eats a lot. And then sometimes your email client could potentially even eat it up. You could take it step by step, depending on what your email address and email client is, and we'll make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I find that very annoying that I'll send a message to the list. The only way I know that it's gone is when I start getting a couple of errors that come up.
I know with Gmail, there's a way you could change your server settings that actually allows it to happen.
Because you know what happened a few weeks ago? I sent myself an email and they always used to come back. This didn't have anything to do with the Vibebug list, and they didn't come work anymore.
Like the username, you have to put something like secure colon, then the username. I'd have to Google to find the exact instruction, but it's not a major change.
I saw some time ago on the Blind Bargain site, they were announcing this tactile overlay for the iPhone that is made by Speed Dots. And I was wondering if anybody has ever used that overlay and does it work? Does it not? I know, for instance, that one of the problems with it is that you have to either get an overlay for the keypad, or one for the keyboard, but not, it wouldn't cover both.
So there's two different overlays that you can get, Marta. There's one that will show you every key on the keyboard. That's the one I didn't have. I had the one that only
The keypad one.
It's only, I think it's only got like it's got the F and J keys and it's got the number pad. And I had that with my iPhone 5S. I actually liked it. I wouldn't have gotten the one with the more keys because I think that would be just too confusing.
Yeah, I, on the other hand, found it of no value whatsoever. I used both of them and I didn't find them of any use at all. But I know other people that really swear by them.
How does it affect your ability to flick and so forth?
It doesn't affect that at all.
Your apps.
It doesn't affect the use of the phone at all in terms of the gestures. It's basically a screen protector that's got the dots on it that is measured specifically for your phone. And they've got them now for all the different phones, all the way from the 5S all the way up to the iPhone X or 10, whatever it is.
And they are just dots. It doesn't show the letters. It's just dots.
They're just dots. For example, there are five dots along the bottom to represent the five dots, the dock. Yeah. So There's a dot that you tap on for Safari. There's a dot that you tap on for phone. There's a dot that you tap on. So I don't have it on my phone now. I didn't bother to get it when I changed phones. If you wanted to get one to try, I would probably get the one with the lesser dots because I think that's less confusing. It's set up. The keys are set up. It's set up like a regular QWERTY keyboard. So ASDFGHJKL. Semicolon. So even if you don't have these dots, you get to know after a while the position of the keys, just like on a regular kind of keyboard. And especially if you put your phone in touch typing mode, where basically as you're sliding your finger across the keyboard, you hear each letter that's under your finger. And then when you want to type that letter, you just pick up your finger and it types in that particular letter.
But again, they are nothing but reference points. That's all they are.
Right, correct.
So Tim, how would you know if you're on the J instead of on the H?
You mean with the if you've got the dots?
Yeah.
Because if you move across with a touch typing, when you get on the J, there'll be a dot there. There'll be a dot on
there. There are dots on every letter.
No.
You're talking about the other.
I'm talking about the smaller one. Yeah, there's one that's got dots on every letter. I think that's crazy. Way too confusing.
Yeah.
One thing I always say about typing on the iPhone, you know, with your fingers, it's like teaching a dog to play the piano. It's amazing that they can do it, but they'll never be very good.
If I need to send a message quickly to someone, I dictate or I plug in a keyboard.
You can get keyboards that will plug right into the Lightning port, so you don't even have to worry about Bluetooth and all that business. So
there's you can change the keyboard over to a Braille keyboard, I believe.
You can type Braille right on the screen.
Type Braille on the screen.
And that actually,
I haven't done it for a while, but that actually works out pretty good.
I've only ever had one person tell me that they use that all the time. I understand Judy Dixon uses it.
I think Jonathan Mosen, I think, made mention that he uses it.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that after I use it for about 5 minutes, I start making a ton of errors.
And you can and you can type in contracted Braille. I think if I were going to go that route, I would probably connect the Orbit to the thing with Bluetooth.
Well, I just actually experimented with an Orbit with an iPhone the other day. And
did it work?
It did. It was very easy to pair and it stayed paired and it worked quite well. The only problem I had was I make a lot of mistakes when I'm typing on the Orbit. Yeah, I don't know if there's a defect in the one that I have or not, but I miss dots sometimes.